A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
HTTP is a protocol with a philosophical commitment to amnesia. Every request is a blank slate. The server has no idea you were just there 5 seconds ago, and that was fine when the web was just serving documents. Then someone wanted a shopping cart, and suddenly amnesia was a bug. There's a lot of confusion about what cookies actually do versus what people think they do. So let's dig in.
He was building the shopping cart for an early e-commerce site, and the fundamental problem was, how do you keep items in a cart when the user navigates from page to page, and every single request looks like a stranger at the door? Chrome's been phasing out third-party cookies for years. Safari and Firefox already did it, and as of right now, we're down to roughly 1% of Chrome users still on third-party cookies. The thing most people don't realize is that almost none of this affects the cookies that keep you logged in or keep your shopping cart intact. Completely different category.
Montulli wasn't just adding a feature. He was fundamentally changing the relationship model of the web.
Right. And the elegant thing about his solution was that it didn't require changing HTTP itself. He didn't try to make the protocol stateful. He just gave the browser a notebook. The server writes something in the notebook, hands it back, and says, "Show me this every time you come back." The server stays amnesiac, but now it has a system for recognizing return visitors. That was fine for serving static documents, which is what the early web was. Here's a page, here's another page. They don't need to know about each other.
The short answer is, we needed them because HTTP refuses to remember anything. And yes, they're becoming less important in the specific way most people think about them. But the tracking industry isn't dying. It's mutating into something harder to see.
Let's start with the statelessness problem, because that's the root of everything. HTTP is a stateless protocol by design. Every GET request, every post, it's a fresh handshake. The server processes it and moves on. For serving static documents in the early 90s, this was elegant and efficient. But the moment you wanted a login session or a shopping cart or any kind of persistent interaction, you needed state. And HTTP doesn't provide it. Montulli needed a way for the browser to carry a little token that said, "Hey, it's me again." So he invented the cookie. The original spec was about 3 pages long.
3 pages? That's a recipe for dinner, not a core internet protocol.
The server says, "Here's a session ID, bring it back every time you talk to me." Now the server can look up that session ID in its database and reconstruct your cart, your login, your preferences, whatever. The server sends a setCookie header in its response. The browser stores it, and on every subsequent request to that domain, the browser echoes it back in a cookie header. That's it. That's the whole mechanism.
That's what makes login work, what makes shopping carts work, what makes language preferences persist. That's not going anywhere.
A third-party cookie is set by a domain that's embedded on the page but isn't the domain you're visiting. The classic example, you're reading a news article on some site, and embedded in that page is a Facebook like button or a Google Analytics script. Those scripts come from Facebook.com or GoogleAnalytics.com, and they can set cookies under their own domains. The browser treats them as first party to Facebook or Google, not to the news site.
And if I close the browser and come back?
Depends on whether the server set an expiration. If it's a session cookie with no expiration, the browser deletes it when you close. If it's a persistent cookie with an explicit expires or max age attribute, the browser keeps it on disk. So when you come back tomorrow, the cookie is still there, the browser sends it, and the server recognizes you. Your cart is still waiting.
Third-party cookies are being hunted to extinction, and Google just started blocking them for 1% of Chrome users in January 2024. Because that's the part Daniel was asking about. The jacket on the phone showing up on the laptop.
A cookie gets attached to every HTTP request to its domain, which means the server sees it without any JavaScript having to run. That's the critical difference. If you're doing server-side session management, you need that session ID in the HTTP headers. Local storage can't do that. Session storage is even more limited. It's wiped when the tab closes.
And there's a security angle. Cookies have the HTTP-only flag, which means JavaScript can't read them at all. That's the standard defense against cross-site scripting attacks, stealing session tokens. Local storage has no such protection.
The cookie is just a key. Think about what that means in practice. You log into your bank. The bank sets an HTTP-only session cookie. Even if there's a cross-site scripting vulnerability somewhere in the bank's site, the attacker can't steal your session token because JavaScript can't touch that cookie. Now imagine the bank used local storage instead. One XSS vulnerability and every session token is up for grabs. That's not a theoretical concern. That's the difference between a contained breach and a catastrophic one.
So cookies aren't just a legacy technology we're stuck with. They solve a specific set of problems that the newer storage APIs don't address.
And the car lives in the server's garage. When people say cookies sync my card across devices, they're attributing magic to a mechanism that's actually quite dumb. The cookie just says, I'm session X. Everything else happens server-side.
Which means, if you're not logged in, cross-device sync is impossible, regardless of cookies.
Correct. And that's a deliberate design choice by most e-commerce platforms. Some sites try to do anonymous cross-device matching using fingerprinting or IP addresses, but that's fragile and increasingly blocked by browsers. The reliable path is log in, and the server connects the dots. The cookie is just the transport layer for the session token.
When you later visit site B, which also has the Facebook pixel, the same cookie gets sent to Facebook with the request. Facebook now knows the same browser visited both site A and site B.
This is where a lot of developers get tripped up. The same origin policy is about JavaScript access to data. It says a script from one origin can't read data from another origin. And the same origin policy, which is the browser's fundamental security boundary, normally prevents one domain from reading another domain's data. But third-party cookies effectively bypass that for tracking purposes. The cookie belongs to Facebook, not to site A or site B, so the same origin policy doesn't block it. Facebook is just reading its own cookie. So https://example.com and http://example.com both get the cookie unless you set the secure flag.
The browser sees a request to facebook.com, checks its cookie jar for facebook.com cookies, and dutifully attaches them. It doesn't ask whether you meant to talk to Facebook or whether Facebook was just embedded on a page you were reading.
This is the retargeting economy. You look at a pair of shoes on a store, you leave without buying, and for the next 3 weeks you see ads for those exact shoes on every news site, recipe blog, and weather page you visit. The store's pixel dropped a cookie. The ad network reads that cookie everywhere else you go. It's not magic, it's just a persistent identifier that follows you around.
And here's where the cross-device question comes in, because Daniel's been curious about how cart sync works across your phone, your laptop, and your smart speaker. Cookies alone can't do that. A cookie lives in one browser on one device.
Local storage is scoped to the exact origin, protocol, domain, and port. A script on one origin can't read local storage from another origin, period. But local storage also doesn't get sent automatically with requests. There are two mechanisms for cross-device sync, deterministic and probabilistic. Deterministic matching is the clean one. You sign into your Google account on your phone. You browse a store, add something to your cart.
So cookies are less secure by design, but more convenient by design.
Google tells the merchant, this account has item X in their cart. The merchant populates the cart on the desktop. That's how Amazon Cart Sync works across Alexa, the mobile app, and the website. It's account-based, not cookie-based. The cookie is just the local identifier that gets linked to the account. The insecurity usually comes from misconfiguration, not from the mechanism itself.
Which brings us to third-party cookies, and why they're being dismantled. What's the actual distinction?
If the same fingerprint shows up on two devices on the same Wi-Fi network at the same time of day, the system guesses they're the same person. It's not perfect, but it's good enough for ad targeting. Amazon's page includes an ad if frame from doubleclick.net, and that if frame sets a cookie under doubleclick.net. Now, every site that embeds a doubleclick ad can read that same cookie, because it's always doubleclick.net setting and reading it. There's a great study from the EFF called Panopticlick that demonstrated this back in 2010.
And this is what's actually being killed.
The fingerprinting surface has only gotten larger since then. Chrome announced deprecation in 2020, went through multiple delays, and is now in the final rollout. The Privacy Sandbox APIs are the intended replacements. The Topics API for interest-based advertising. The Protected Audience API for remarketing. The Attribution Reporting API for measuring ad effectiveness.
Chrome has been slower on this front, partly because Google's ad business benefits from some level of identifiability, and partly because breaking fingerprinting without breaking legitimate functionality is genuinely hard.
So we've got this ecosystem. Third-party cookies provide deterministic tracking across sites on one device. Account linkage provides cross-device sync. Fingerprinting provides a backup identifier when cookies are blocked. And all of this runs on top of a protocol that was designed to forget you immediately.
Which brings us to the attempted solution. Google's Privacy Sandbox.
The visible change is that ads stop following you around quite so aggressively. You look at a pair of shoes on one site and they don't haunt you across every other site you visit for the next 3 weeks. The invisible change is that the ad tech industry is scrambling to rebuild its targeting infrastructure around first-party data and the Privacy Sandbox APIs. The Privacy Sandbox is a suite of APIs that are supposed to replace the functionality of third-party cookies without the cross-site tracking.
The browser becomes the gatekeeper instead of the ad network.
Which is exactly what Korn observed a while back. The web is moving from tracking being everyone's game to being the browser vendor's game. Google, Apple, and Mozilla now decide what tracking is allowed and what isn't. That's a massive shift in who controls web privacy.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation called it a privacy nightmare, and they weren't wrong. Every site wants you authenticated, because that's the only reliable way to build a persistent user profile.
So a site you'd never been to before would immediately learn which cohort you belong to, which is a rough summary of your interests. That's information leakage at scale. Google, Facebook, Apple, they become the identity providers for the entire web. That has privacy implications that are arguably worse than third-party cookies. With cookies, tracking was distributed across thousands of ad networks. With federated identity, it concentrates in 3 or 4 companies.
The advertiser never learns which specific sites you visited, just the topic category. But let's talk about what developers should actually be doing right now, because Daniel's question is practical. Are cookies becoming less important, and what replaces them?
Plus, you can view and manage your topics in Chrome settings, or turn the whole thing off. If you have a feature that depends on a third-party cookie, an embedded widget, a cross-site integration, an analytics tracker that uses its own domain's cookies, it's already broken for the vast majority of users.
The randomness means you get some plausible deniability. The advertiser knows you might be interested in travel, but you might also have just been the victim of a random selection.
The Protected Audience API, which used to be called F-Legige, handles remarketing. This is the you looked at shoes, now you see shoe ads, use case. Under the old model, the ad network drops a cookie and follows you around. Under Protected Audience, the interest group data stays on your device. When a publisher has an ad slot, an auction runs locally in your browser. Your browser checks which interest groups you belong to, bids on the ad, and if you win, displays the ad. The advertiser never learns which sites you visited, only that they won the auction.
This is a fundamental architectural shift. The old model was, send data to the server, let the server decide. The new model is, keep data on the device, run the computation locally, only send aggregated results out.
And that's the theme of the whole transition. The web is moving from implicit, invisible state sharing to explicit, user-visible permission models. Cookies were a hack that worked by default for 25 years. And the Attribution Reporting API handles conversion measurement. Under the old model, when you bought something after clicking an ad, a pixel on the checkout page would send your cookie ID and the purchase amount to the ad network.
Let's talk about the cross-device question more practically. Daniel mentioned e-commerce carts syncing across devices. If I'm building a shopping experience today, what's the right architecture?
Design around authenticated sessions from the start. Don't try to do anonymous cross-device sync. It's fragile, it's increasingly blocked, and it's a terrible user experience when it fails silently. The server-side database is your source of truth. When a user logs in on any device, you create a session, link it to their user account, and all their data, cart, preferences, order history, is available immediately because it's stored against the user record, not the session.
And the cookie is just the session key.
Under the new model, Chrome knows everything about your browsing, because it has to generate topics and run auctions. Advertisers know almost nothing. Google sits in the middle with a privileged position. What happens when a user has items in an anonymous cart and then logs in? Do you merge the anonymous cart with their saved cart? Do you replace one with the other? Those are product decisions, but they're enabled by the architecture of having a single source of truth server-side.
Which brings us to the audit question. If you're running a site today, what should you check about your cookie usage?
They've forced multiple delays and required Google to make commitments about not self-preferencing. Whether those commitments hold is an open question. Some of those are essential, some aren't. Second, check your flags. Every cookie that's used for authentication should have HTTPO only and secure set. Same site should be lax at minimum, strict if you can tolerate it. Third, set explicit expirations. Don't rely on session cookies for anything that should persist. If you want a user to stay logged in for 30 days, set max age to 2,592,000 seconds and be done with it.
2,592,000 seconds. That's a very Herman way to say 30 days.
The user's browser is completely out of the loop. This is technically a first-party data transfer, because it's the merchant sending data about their own customer.
Fair enough. And what about the transition away from third-party cookies? If I'm running ads or analytics?
If you're in ad tech, you're already deep in the privacy sandbox migration. The Topics API, Protected Audience, Attribution Reporting, these are the new primitives. They're more complex than just dropping a third-party cookie, but they preserve some of the use cases while adding privacy guardrails. So we're moving from a world where tracking was visible, deletable, and controllable through browser settings to a world where tracking is invisible, persistent, and controlled by server-side agreements between companies. The privacy sandbox is solving the browser-side tracking problem just as the industry moves tracking to the server side.
Which is a pattern we've seen before. Block pop-up ads, get pop-unders. Block third-party cookies, get fingerprinting. Block fingerprinting, get server-side conversion APIs. The tracking industry doesn't die. It just finds a new surface to attach to.
It's an arms race where the defenders are always one step behind, because the attackers get to choose the next battlefield.
So where does that leave us? Three groups of people need to think about this differently. For developers, the message is simple. Stop relying on third-party cookies today. If your site's authentication or cart functionality depends on them, you have a critical dependency that's being deprecated. Move to server-side session management with first-party cookies plus OAuth-based cross-device sync.
But with one crucial difference. For product managers, the cookie deprecation doesn't kill ad targeting. It makes it more opaque and more centralized. The trade-off is between a messy open ecosystem of third-party cookies and a clean walled garden of privacy sandbox plus server-side APIs. Budget for migrating to server-side conversion, APIs and topics API integration.
Which is where federated credential management comes in. FedCM, the thing that's supposed to make sign-in with Google, not just be a privacy nightmare in a different wrapper.
FedCM is Google's proposal for a privacy-preserving federated identity API. Instead of the identity provider dropping a third-party cookie that tracks you everywhere, the browser mediates the login flow. The identity provider tells the browser this user is logged in, and the browser tells the website, here's a token, but I'm not telling you who the identity provider is unless the user consents. It's a step toward decoupling identity from tracking. But adoption is slow, and the big identity providers have mixed incentives.
They benefit from the tracking.
Normally, when a third-party script from, say, adnetwork.com is embedded on both Site A and Site B, it reads and writes to a single cookie jar for adnetwork.com. That's how it correlates your visits. With partitioning, the browser gives adnetwork.com a separate cookie jar for each top-level site it's embedded on. So the adnetwork.com cookie on Site A is completely isolated from the adnetwork.com cookie on Site B.
So given all of that, where does this leave us? Are cookies becoming less important?
Third-party cookies are becoming extinct. First-party cookies are as important as ever. The mechanism isn't going away, the scope is narrowing. But there's one question nobody has answered yet. Will Google actually follow through on third-party cookie deprecation in 2027? The UK Competition and Markets Authority investigation has already caused multiple delays. Google's dominance in both browser and ad tech creates a conflict of interest that isn't going away.
And the cross-device sync that Daniel was asking about. That's not a cookie story at all. That's a database story with cookies playing a bit part.
The cookies are the name tags at the door. The actual party is happening in the server room.
Google has a privacy team and public commitments and regulatory oversight. Random ad networks have none of those things. But Google also has a multi-hundred-billion-dollar ad business that benefits from knowing who you are. They're just little tokens that say, I'm this session. The intelligence and the privacy risk lives in what the server does with that information.
It just makes it invisible, moves it to the server side, and puts Google in charge of the browser side remnants. But you should still audit them, because misconfigured cookies are a security liability whether they're first party or third party.
30 years later, that same mechanism became the backbone of a surveillance economy, and dismantling it requires re-architecting how the entire web handles identity. With third-party cookies, tracking was distributed and relatively transparent. You could block it, clear it, inspect it. With federated identity, your login becomes the tracking mechanism, and it's much harder to opt out of being logged into your own accounts.
That's the tension that FedCM and the various privacy proposals are trying to address, but none of them have really solved it yet. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you want to send us a question like Daniel did, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. Whether that's a net win depends on how much you trust those three companies.
And whether you have any choice in the matter. Thanks as always to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop for making this show happen. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you want to send us your own questions about cookies, about web architecture, about why your shopping cart keeps emptying itself, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.